Last Sunday, we began talking about this idea of thankfulness, working through Psalm 103, studying what it has to say about remembering the blessings that God has given to us, both spiritual and material blessings, or intangible and tangible, whatever term you want to put on that, and then praising Him for those blessings. We saw from both the text last week and also from some different Hebrew grammar things that while praise and thanks, those two words are not quite interchangeable, quite often, in fact, most of the time, you can't separate them. Praise goes with thanks, thanks goes with praise. They just go together in Scripture. And so we talked about thanking God for His blessings as a part of praising Him. And it was really interesting as I was just kind of reviewing the lesson this morning. Robbie shared with me an online devotional that she goes through, and basically it was a summary of my entire message. So I don't know who's stealing from whom, but I thought, well, that's cool that at least, you know, I'm not totally off base here, and there's someone else that has the same ideas here. Anyway, and it's not me anyway, this is the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, though, as we're thinking about this whole thing of thanking God, sometimes remembering to tell God thank you can be kind of hit or miss, especially when we think of the blessings that He gives us on a regular or even an ongoing basis. We usually remember to thank Him for the obvious blessings that He provides, the food we eat, the check in the mail that we weren't expecting, you know, the health we have, that those sort of things. But then there are the blessings to which we get so accustomed, and I mentioned last week just a few of these, the electricity we use at the flip of a switch, the shoes we wear, indoor plumbing, all these things that we use constantly, we don't even see them anymore. And so we can forget to thank God for those things. They're hidden in plain sight. In thinking of some of those material blessings, though, let me ask, and this is always hazardous to do this. Did anyone write down some of those obvious things this week for which we thank God? Anyone do that? All right, you get the brownie point today. All right. How about the things that are hiding in plain sight for which we forget to thank God? Did anyone write any of those down? All right. Good for that. All right. Well, the rest of you, you're not going to pass today, so you're going to get held back, okay? Write these things down, though. That really is important, not just because it's part of the message or anything, but these are important things that we need to do, and we're going to find out some more about that a little bit later on. So we're going to continue from where we left off last week, and we're going to look at some other kinds of blessings that God showers on us. Now, these are the kinds of blessings most of us probably don't even think to thank God for because our minds just don't work that direction. Like any other discipline, though, especially spiritual disciplines, training ourselves to see these blessings that God gives to us and to thank Him for them, that in itself can be a very real blessing. And so we're going to go to the Lord here for just a moment and thank Him for what we're doing here this morning. And then we'll continue on this idea of seeing what God's Word says about remembering to thank God for what He gives to us. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You for all the things it teaches us. Father, even the things that they're just not that obvious to us, or things that we just don't think of all the time. But Father, sometimes as we're reading Your Word, You will hit us right between the eyes with something that we just had not given any thought to. Father, I pray this morning that as we continue in Your Word, as we continue this idea of thanking You for all that You do for us, Lord, I pray that You would open our hearts and our minds to Your Word. I pray, Father, that You would teach us what You want us to learn, and Father, that You would accomplish Your purposes in each one of us here this morning. We'll be sure and praise You for it. For it's in Your Son's name we pray, Lord. Amen. Well, just a real quick review here this morning. We talked last week about thanking God when His hand is open. That is when He's doing things for us, when He's giving us various blessings. Thanking Him for what He's done, both spiritually and materially, or as I said, tangibly and intangibly. And so last week we talked about thanking Him for those things that are obvious. You know, we thank Him for the meals that we eat when we sit down and ask the blessing at the table, those sort of things. Thanks for things hiding in plain sight, the electricity, the shoes, all these sort of different things. But while we're thinking about things that are hiding in plain sight, we need to consider also some other things that we can thank God for. And this is thanking God for blessings that may be obscured. Blessings that may be obscured. We don't see them really clearly. Let me give you some examples of this. And we're going to be looking at various scriptures in here, some verses in Deuteronomy and Psalms. You have those verses written down there on your notes this morning. But I want to give you just a couple of examples here. First off, as we're thinking about this idea of thanking God for blessings that may be obscured, the way we're going to see those blessings is by examining them. If whatever the thing may be that we're dealing with, some event, some situation, some object, whatever it may be, examine that thing in order to be able to see the blessings in it. I don't mean put it under the microscope necessarily, but actually step back from that and take a look at it and say, okay, is there a blessing in this? Let me give an example. How many of you know who Matthew Henry was? Okay, he wrote the commentary that probably most Christians have somewhere in their house. A great commentary on the entire scriptures. Matthew Henry was a pastor in the latter part of the 1600s, early part of the 1700s. He was on his way home one day, and he was attacked at knife point. And the robbers took everything he had. And after he thought about that, he wrote this down in his diary. Let me be thankful. Have any of you ever been robbed? And if so, would you be thankful about that? Okay. Matthew Henry says, first, let me be thankful. I was never robbed before. Second, although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, although they took my all, it wasn't much. Fourth, let me be thankful because it was I who was robbed and not I who did the robbing. How many of us would be able to look back at some kind of a traumatic event like that and thank God for it with very specific blessings? And yet that's what's in view here as we look at some of these various scriptures that we're going to be looking at. Let me give you a couple of other examples that may be closer to home to where we're at. How about just a change in your life situation? We all have these major life events that they're termed, the death of a loved one, losing a job, moving to a new city, these things that impact us deeply. What do we do in those things? Well, let me give you an example from Scripture. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, you might want to look there, Deuteronomy 15, and the whole section is verses 12 through 18. But Deuteronomy 12, 15 through 18, we read this. And this is Israel in view here. God is talking to the people of Israel. And he says, if a fellow Hebrew sells himself to you and serves you for 6 years, in the seventh year, you must let him go free. And when you release him, supply him liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, and your wine press. Do not consider it a hardship to set your servant free, because his service to you these 6 years has been worth twice as much as that of a hired hand. And the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. So the situation here is you're a landowner, you've got a bunch of stuff, you've got this fellow Israelite who has sold himself to you because he's hard up and needs the money. He's worked for you for 6 years. Now, as a businessman, businesswoman, as a landowner, you've got all this stuff, and this Hebrew who has sold himself to you has become a very, very valuable part of your life. Whatever that servant may be doing, whether tending the livestock, whether keeping the books, whatever, this is a major part of your life. And then God says, okay, after 6 years, let him go. So basically, think of it as the person who is the most important in your business leaving. Okay, what do I do now? How am I going to deal with this? How do I thank God for this when everything is kind of in an upheaval like this? And yet God says, don't consider it a hardship. Instead, consider it as a blessing because he's a fellow Jew, his service to you has been worth twice as much of a hired hand. He's a brother in the Lord, so to speak. And the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. Do what God says, let this guy go, God will bless you. There is a blessing in you being obedient to God. We need to consider the events, whatever it may be, that situation, to understand the blessing in it. Don't just say, okay, well, that was nice. No, look at that thing like Matthew Henry did. Look at it. Try to understand, where is the blessing in this? Let me give you another example. James chapter 2, and you might want to turn there. James chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 2 through 12. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 12. And we all know this first verse here. Consider pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. And that always sounds really good, but how do you do that? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance and so on. How do we examine a trying time, a trial of some kind, and look at that thing and consider what events, what blessings might be in this, whether it's, again, losing a job, your house burns down, you're robbed at knife point, whatever it may be. How do you look at that to find the blessings? James gives us the answers to that in these first few verses here. 2 and 3, consider it pure joy when you face trials. You know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. What is the blessing in a trial? Well, for one thing, it increases our ability to persevere in the next trial. It gives us the ability to continue putting one foot in front of the other and going on and on and on. That's one blessing in a trying time. How about another blessing? Verse 4, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. This trial that we're going through, if we're paying attention, if we're considering what it's all about, we're going to gain in spiritual maturity. We're going to grow up in spiritual maturity. Warren Wiersbe, years ago, wrote a whole series of commentaries, and his commentary on James, the title of that was Be Mature. And that's what James is talking about here. Grow up. When you face these trials, don't get all pooky-faced over them, but say, okay, what is there in here I can learn from? How is this going to help me become more spiritually mature? What's another benefit, another blessing that we can thank God for when we're going through this hard time? Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. How many of us have all the wisdom we need? Good, I'm glad no one put their hands up, okay? No, we don't. We can never have enough wisdom. We know facts and figures, but we're never going to have enough wisdom, all right? This is an opportunity to grow in wisdom. When we're in the midst of this trial and we say, God, I don't know what's going on. I really need some wisdom here to know how to deal with this. And God's going to give that to us. So it's an opportunity to grow in wisdom. That's something we can thank God for. It's also an opportunity, these trials that we face, to grow in our faith. Verses 6 through 8, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded, unstable in all he does. Unstable in all he does. And so as we're going through this time, this is an opportunity to grow in faith, and not just some nebulous faith that people talk about, but our faith in God, our belief in his ability to get us through this time, our faith that God has a purpose in this and a plan in this, and he's going to see us through this, to grow closer to him in that. That's a tremendous thing to thank God for. Let's take a look at verse 9 through 11. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat, withers the plant, it blossoms, fall, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade even while he goes about his business. As we're going through a trial of whatever kind it may be, that trial can have a real opportunity to help us understand our place in the universe just a little bit better, to have a realistic understanding, a proper biblical understanding of self. Maybe we're not as important as we thought we were. Maybe we're not as bad off as we thought we were. Whatever it may be, but it enables us, whatever the trial is, to have a proper understanding, a proper view of ourselves. And I'm not talking here about self-esteem or any of that nonsense. I'm just talking about a realistic look at ourselves and seeing how we fit into God's program and into the grand scheme of things. That's something to thank God for. There's also opportunities in a trial to learn lessons, to learn life's lessons. Verse 12, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. How many of you enjoy taking tests in school? Greg, I might have known. Okay? Yeah, the rest of us, you know, just we'll get through it. We'll do whatever we need to do. But, you know, there's academic tests. You have to do those in school. But there are life tests. God brings about life tests. And we can thank God for those, because it is through those tests that we learn whatever lessons it is that God has for us to learn. Learn the lesson the first time. Let me just put that out there so you don't have to repeat that test several times. Learn the lesson, say, okay, got it, and let's go on from there. So that's something to thank God for. Also, verse 12, when he stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. There's an expectation of a heavenly reward. We know there's a crown there. We know that when we get to heaven, there's going to be some kind of a reward for us in store. We're going to give that right back to the Lord, of course. But that's an expectation. That is something to thank the Lord for. And so whatever the trial may be, whatever the situation is that God brings around, we can consider that event, that situation, to better understand the blessings that are in those things. And I guess I could have put this up there. Sorry about that. So consider those events to understand the blessing. And as you're doing that, keep this in mind. Discerning those obscured blessings produces joy. As we're going through James there, and James says, consider it joy when you're going through all these things. As we're able to discern the blessings that are in those things, those obscured blessings, that is a source of joy. And joy is itself something for which we can thank God. There's lots of ways God can bring about joy in our life. Most of us think, you know, well, I'll be joyful. If I can just have a brand new Goldwing, I would be really joyful until I made the first payment on it. You know, things don't hold joy. God gives joy. And when we find the blessings that God has provided, that's where joy comes from. So discerning those obscured blessings produces joy. Well, let's move on. Another thing that we need to do here also is to consider events in the light of Scripture. When we're thinking about obscured blessings, one of the most important ways to do this is to consider that event, that situation, in light of Scripture. What does Scripture say about this situation? Obviously, you are not going to find a Scripture verse that addresses your specific situation, okay? I was just in a wreck in my car. What does Scripture say about that? It's not there, all right? You're not going to find that. But there are other verses that give some general principles about this. Probably the best one is Romans 8:28. Someone tell me what Romans 8:28 says. Okay. Called according to, okay, all things work together for good. And you know, we say that verse and it gets way overused because we don't think about it and it becomes trite after a while. But let's think through that verse. All things work together for good to those who are called according to God's purpose. The next verse says so that we can be transformed into the image of his son. But all things work together for good. This is a promise that God has given, that no matter what is going on in our life, no matter what that situation may be, something we may look at as absolutely horrible. Okay, my house just burned to the ground. My dog just ran off. You know, someone took the cat. Well, that's fine. Okay, but whatever the thing may be, how is this for my good? And yet God promises to work out all things, whatever it is, for our good. Now, God's either a liar or he's telling the truth in that. And belief or trust in that promise, if we honestly believe that promise that God has given, that provides a vantage point from which to discern or discover the blessing that is in that particular thing. If we're in a just whether good or bad situation, if we can go back to that and say, okay, this is for my good. How's God going to work this out for my good? What can I look at in this thing? What blessing can I see in this? That gives us that vantage point. If we honestly believe that God is going to bring about some good, some blessing in whatever situation or event that he has allowed or caused into our lives, then there is a blessing there to discover if we bother to look for it. We need to be able to consider that event in light of Scripture. Now, it may be difficult when we're right smack dab in the middle of that situation to discern what that blessing may be. But if God means that situation for good, and he said it is, then the blessing is there. Now, admittedly, there may be a little bit of hindsight that is required in this. What I mean by that, think about Matthew Henry, again, getting robbed at knife point. I'm pretty sure that as that robber was holding a knife to his throat, that Matthew Henry was not thinking, I wonder what the blessings are in this right now. That was not in his mind, okay? He did not discern those blessings until after he went home, thought about it, wrote it down in his diary, and he was able to thank God then for those things. If I can give just a personal example here, you've all heard this, some of these things before. I've sounded like a broken record sometime, but personal examples, you know, those are the closest things that we all have to talk about. When we started looking for property to build on a number of years ago, we spent about 13 or 14 months looking at one particular piece of property, and we worked with the county back and forth. We jumped through all the hoops. We did everything we could to be able to buy that piece of property. And after that 13 or 14 months, it fell through. However, that year or more that we spent, the blessings in that, the thanks that came from that, is that that year or better provided time for the property that God had reserved for us to come on the market. And it also gave us a whole bunch of lessons in how to develop land and how to work through all the county bureaucracy to make all that happen. So those were good lessons. Did we think about that at the time? No, not in the least. All I could think of was bureaucracy, you know. But looking back, there were blessings in that. Now, it's a whole lot easier to gripe and complain and kibitz about all these things when life seemingly throws us a curveball. We just want to gripe about it. But it is much more fulfilling. It's much more gratifying and satisfying to consider those situations and really look for the blessings that are in those situations. And then to be able to tell God, thank you for those things, that we really appreciate those. As you're able to discern those obscured blessings that God has given, again, I want to encourage you to write those things down. And we're going to look a little bit later about why this is so important to write these things down. And some of you may already be keeping a prayer journal or whatever. That's great. Continue doing that. For the rest of you, get a notebook, get something, just jot it down. You don't have to do this every day, but just jot those things down that God does. Write down those obscured blessings that you actually had to look at a little bit. Write those down as a reminder of how good God has really been to you. And tell him thank you. That's the whole point of these messages, is telling God thank you for the things he's doing for us. And don't keep these things to yourself either. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, you might turn back there if you're not there already. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. God has just finished telling the people, commanding Israel, to not only teach their children about him, but also to tell them about what he's done. Impress these things on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, while you walk along the road, all these different things. Verse 10 and 11, when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers to give you, a land with large flourishing cities, houses filled with all these things, wells you didn't dig, all these good things. Verse 12, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And then skipping down to verse 20, in the future, when your son asks you, there's going to be a come a time, God says, when your kids are going to be asking you about these things. Tell them all the good things that God has done for you from the time he brought you out of Egypt right up to the present. And in Exodus chapter 10, God spoke to Moses about the Jews telling their children and their grandchildren about how he dealt harshly with the Egyptians and performed signs among you so that you may know that I am the Lord. And that theme of telling the next generation and future generations is repeated throughout Scripture. And it is just as applicable to us today as it was to them back then. We need to write down these things so that we can tell our, I mean, we don't need to write them down to tell our children and grandchildren, but tell our children, tell our grandchildren of God's blessings as a witness to them. Have you ever, those of you who have kids, those of you who have grandkids, have you ever sat down with those kids and said, you know, let me tell you about something God did for us. This is so cool what God did for us. I remember years ago, Robbie and I had not been married too many years. My brother, Matt, and his wife, Matt was a general contractor. He'd built some little duplexes and fourplexes, and he rented those out. That was their livelihood. Matt got hurt, and he was flat on his back and out of commission for the better part of a year. He couldn't work, and there's still a mortgage due on those buildings and on all those fourplexes. And we're talking lots and lots of money. Even though this has been 40 years ago, there was a lot of money owed on those. And it finally came to where they had to go to court because the bank was going to foreclose on them. And it was just going to be really nasty. And so they went to court, and they asked Matt to tell what had happened. And so Matt told what had happened and, you know, why he hadn't been able to work, why he hadn't been able to make the payments, and on and on and on. And after he said this to the judge, the attorney for the bank said something very interesting. He said, well, Mr. Stroud, I understand where you're coming from on this. I understand exactly what has happened to you. And as a representative of the bank, I am authorized to forgive that loan. Is that something that you would share with your kids and grandkids? If you don't, if you have to say, no, I'm not going to share that, check, you need to check that out. Those kinds of things that God does for us, and even just the mundane things that God does for us, share those with your children, with your grandchildren, whether it's your little children, your adult children, whatever. Share those things as a witness to them. If they're not saved, that can be a witness to them to help bring them to salvation. If they are saved, that can be an encouragement to them in their own spiritual growth. So write these things down. Tell your kids. Pray about them. Thank God for them. The unobscured blessings, the obvious blessings, the blessings that are right out there in plain sight. And let me give a verse right down here also about sharing these things with your grandkids. Psalm 71:18, David says, even when I'm old and gray, don't let me forget to tell these things to the next generation. Psalm 78, 4 through 6, same thing. Tell your children so they can tell their children so they can tell their children. Share these things with your family. And just in case you run out of the obvious blessings to thank God for, and the hidden blessings, the hidden and plain sight blessings, and the obscured blessings to thank God for and to tell your family about, there's one more kind of blessing that we can thank God for that, while not overtly spoken of in Scripture, it is implied in several passages throughout Scripture. It's the idea of looking at some blessing that you're enjoying now, whatever that may that blessing may end up being, but something that you're enjoying right now, some tangible something that you're enjoying, and connect the dots backward from that thing back to what happened that thing came into your possession. Connect those dots backward to discover all the things that God has done to provide that blessing. Think of it as giving thanks for buried treasure. Any of you ever been on a scavenger hunt? Okay, scavenger hunts can be fun. You know, you go over to this person's house, ask for something. You go to this field, look for something else, whatever. Treasure hunts, like they're portrayed in the movies, you know, you got this treasure that's been around for 300 years, and if you just follow it, you're going to land on the X, and there's a big treasure there. That's great. Think of this as that sort of a treasure hunt. We've got a map. We have to follow the map back to where this blessing came from. And in a sense, I said it is buried treasure because of the history that you're going to need to uncover in order to be able to discover how that blessing came to be. Deuteronomy chapter 6 again, verses 20 through 25. In the future, when your son asks, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you, tell him, we were slaves in Pharaoh. This was our scripture reading for this morning. We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh and upon his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God as he has commanded, that will be our righteousness. So the scene that is portrayed here in these verses is this Israelite family. They're living in the promised land. They're enjoying all these material, these temporal, tangible blessings that God has promised them in verses 10 through 11. Dad has faithfully taught his children about God and about his law, as verses 6 through 9 talk about. And one day, one of the kids says, so, Dad, what's the deal about the law? How did that come about? Why do we have to obey it? At that point, Dad sits down with the kid, and he starts with the home that they're living in that, according to verse 11 of this chapter, is filled with good things that Dad and Mom did not provide. It has a well out in the front yard that they didn't dig. It has vineyards and olive groves out back that they didn't plant. And so Dad begins to track back from what they have now all the way back to Sinai, where the law came in, all the way back before that to Egypt, when God brought them out with a mighty hand. And so he shares with that child all the events of Israel's history that brought them to this present blessing, how God brought them from point A to point B to point C and so on. If I can give you another personal example here. We've been living in our travel trailer now for 3.5 years. When we first moved on to Jerry and Vivian's property, I told Jerry, we'll only be here 6 months, you know, and then we'll be in the house. Okay, that was 3.5 years ago. And we're still living in the trailer. We bought that trailer a number of years ago to use it as a recreational vehicle, to go camping in it. And we got to do that a bunch. And God blessed us in that. But tracking back from where we are now, when we bought that thing, we had no idea we'd be living in it. Okay, we joked about it. Oh, yeah, we'll buy this. You know, if the world comes to an end or everything goes south, you know, we have a roof over our head. Little did we know. When we got that, tracking back, though, from when we got that trailer, when we went into the credit union to get a loan for it, the bank manager said, so what are you doing with your old trailer? Going to sell it? Well, how much you want for it? She ended up buying it right there on the spot. That paid for new rubber all the way around on our truck and the trip to South Dakota where we bought the thing so that we could haul it all the way back. That's one dot being connected. When we first started thinking about buying a travel trailer, and bear in mind, when Robbie and I buy big purchases, like a pair of jeans or something, you know, that's not anything that we do just, boom, I'm going to do this. It takes forever. By the time we get around to buying the jeans, the sale is off anyway. So, you know, buying a car, buying anything, that's a major undertaking, lots of prayer, lots of figuring, and so on. 2 weeks on this trailer from the time we had the thought, oh, let's look at trailers, until it was sitting in our parking, in our driveway. That was totally of God. But the reason I mention that is because that was so fast, the way that happened. We looked at some trailers online one night. Oh, that's a nice model. The next day, I saw that exact same trailer in someone's driveway for sale. Really? looked at that. Okay, not quite that one. The next day we found the exact model, that brand that we wanted. Guess what? There was not any of those anywhere except one in South Dakota. It's an East Coast trailer. It's what we wanted. So all these different things. 2 weeks, though, from start to finish. I shared this last week. We bought the thing, started making payments on it. Several months later, we got a letter from an attorney for the estate of a gal that we had had in our church in Oregon. She had left us in her will, paid for the trailer. We met her because God had moved us into Village Missions to minister in that church. We went into Village Missions because God had placed on my heart when I was a little kid that I was going to be a pastor. And so connecting these dots, how did we get to where we are now? Because when I was a little kid, God told me I was going to be a pastor. And so we're living in our trailer now as a result of that. Tracking back through all those things, this is a treasure, a treasure hunt. And all of this is reason, from personal experience here, we thank God for that. We praise God for that so often, for what he's done, for what he is doing. And in several of the Old Testament texts, we see God's people being told to remember the past in order to connect it to the present, to remember all that God had done in the past to bring them to their present situation. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father and he'll tell you, your elders and they will explain it to you. 1 Samuel 12, 24. Be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. The New Testament likewise is replete with reminders of the past to help believers understand the present. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So the New Testament believers could literally connect the blessings of their own salvation all the way back to examples of Abraham believing God. Now, certainly the clearest New Testament example of connecting the dots from present blessings to past events was that of the Jewish believers recognizing in Jesus the fulfillment of all the Old Testament messianic prophecies. In fact, they could quite literally connect the dots, connect the blessings of their salvation by following Jesus' genealogy all the way back to Adam and Eve. That's where it started. And tracking back through the entire Old Testament, this is how we are today. This is how we got saved. As we think about this, about connecting the dots, consider the blessing that God has given. Okay, whatever that blessing is that you're enjoying in the present, consider that blessing. Connect the dots back to discover how that blessing came to be. Write down the progression of events that came from, you know, from where we are here all the way back, and then that progression all the way forward to how we got to where we are now with this particular blessing. And do that so you don't forget. Psalm 103, verse 2, forget not all the blessings that the Lord your God has given you. And then tell God, thank you for that blessing. There's a lot that goes into God giving us blessings. I don't know if you ever thought about that before, but it's not just a thing of God saying, okay, boom, there's a blessing. It started way back there. Technically, it started before the creation of the universe because God had all that in mind. But in terms of our perspective, it's fun, it really is, to track back through all this stuff and to see what God has done. The thing about connecting the dots backward from the present blessings that we enjoy, following that treasure map back to where a specific treasure came from, is so that we can understand how God has worked through the events of our lives to bring about that treasure, that blessing. It's about remembering the events of our lives, keeping those things, those events before us, so that we have even more reason to tell God thank you. And you really will not believe how exciting that can be, how rewarding that can be to track back through all of that and to realize all the things that God has done in your life. That's why God was always telling the Jews to remember, to have thus and such a memorial. It's what Passover was all about, to remind them how they came to enjoy the benefits of the promised land, the blessings of the promised land, after coming out of Egypt. Same thing with the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, how they got from Egypt over here to the promised land. They were to be constantly remembering the past, connecting those present blessings with past events, and then presenting memorial offerings and thank offerings to God in order to keep the understanding of God's blessings front and center of their minds and hearts. And all those commands, although those commands to remember aren't mentioned as frequently in the New Testament as they are in the Old, we need to be just as diligent in remembering what God has done in our lives in the past to bring about the blessings that we enjoy in the future, or in the present rather. And in so doing, we're going to learn to be thankful believers rather than entitled ones. We're also going to be more apt to thank God for all the blessings that we have enjoyed from His hand when it's open. We talked about, you know, when God's hand is open, thanking Him. We're also going to learn, if we're doing that and learning how to be thankful, we're going to learn how to thank God for all those blessings we've enjoyed when it seems He's gotten tight-fisted, when His hand is closed, so to speak. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to finally get around to Psalm 77 that I told you to read this week. Read that this week if you haven't read it yet. Psalm 77. We're going to discover what a priest named Asaph discovered about God's blessing when it seemed God's hand was permanently closed. Will God never show His favor again? Asaph laments in verse 7. What do you do when there are no blessings? God is not doing anything in your life. There's nothing to be thankful for, and God has gone missing. What do you do in those situations? Let me give you a hint from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Thank you, Lord, in other words. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Hopefully, as I said, God willing, we're going to look at that next week as we wrap all of this up.